We're on now. Let's pray. Father, we do come to you at this time. We know that you've called us to be a people of prayer. We know that prayer changes things. There's power in prayer. And so, God, we pray right now. We petition the kingdom of heaven. We're asking. You said that if we ask, we will receive. If we seek, we find. If we knock, it'll be open. And so we know that you are a faithful God, that you're able to do more exceedingly abundantly above that we can even ask or think. And so, God, we come right now bringing these individuals to you. We lay them at the altar. We're praying. We're asking that you would divinely intervene. We pray for a touch, oh God. We know that with men these things are impossible, but with you all things are possible. You're the God of the impossible. And so we pray right now, God, that you would touch them in a miraculous way, that you would bring healing to their bodies, oh God, that you would truly be glorified and that your will would be done. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Let me say how delighted I am to be here this morning. I'm always glad to be at my home church, Church of the Living Hope. I am so thankful for this body of pastor ministers that we have here, and they allow me to speak from time to time. I really appreciate that. I have a dear friend of mine, one of my board members that's with me, Les Hart. He comes when I'm local. He tries to accompany me as much as possible. So I thank him for that. And so, again, just being able to come and share with my brothers and sisters in the Lord, just to be able to spend time and fellowshipping and breaking the word of truth. What a blessing it is to be a part of the body of Christ, to be in the body of Christ, to be able to live for the Lord. What an honor to know that we have a relationship with the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, the God of the universe, is able to speak to us and we're able to commune with him. That's an honor to know that we have a Heavenly Father who is very, very lofty, very grandeur, but yet so intimate that he desires for us to sub with him. That's a blessing. And so we are to really understand the privilege of being able to communicate with the God of the universe. I don't take that lightly. I thank God for what he's done in my life and what he's doing. I really do. I appreciate the fact that God saved me, turned my life around, called me into the ministry to be able to be a part of what he's doing as far as his kingdom, the kingdom. This morning I want to use for a topic, a touch from the Lord, a touch from the Lord. So I'm going to be in the book of Luke chapter 5, Luke chapter 5. We're going to be dealing with this topic, and we will go from Luke chapter 5, dealing with verse 12 to verse 16. It's dealing with this particular topic. And it reads, "And it happened when he was in a certain city, that behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell at his face, and immediately, and he fell on his face, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him.
And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priests and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. A touch from the Lord. Luke's account emphasizes, or it suggests, that this was a very serious case of leprosy. Make no doubt about it. It was serious because he was full of leprosy. He didn't just have leprosy. Luke's account, being a physician, goes into a little bit more detail. This man was full of leprosy. The law of God, the commandment of God, commands when dealing with leprosy, one had to be put out of population. You had to be put out of circulation. You had to be removed from others. And not only that, he or she had to pronounce unclean, unclean. Everywhere that they would enter, they would have to announce unclean, unclean. They couldn't come near the average person. They could not get within this population of the average individual. Matter of fact, it was so bad that their clothes had to be torn off of them. The average leopard had to tear his clothes, walk around and rip his clothes off. That's how bad it was. Look at what you, if you would please, turn with me in the book of Leviticus, chapter 13. Leviticus chapter 13. And we're going to look at verse 44. And it reads, he is leprous. He is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall surely pronounce him unclean. His sore is on his head. Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. And he shall be unclean all the days he has the sore. He shall be unclean. He is unclean. And he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Can you imagine? Every day, the isolation, the horror of looking at himself and seeing his body covered. But not only that, but to have others to remind you that you have to stay a distance. And not only that, but to have to announce day after day, every awakened moment, unclean, unclean, meaning that you're not fit to be amongst others. Can you imagine the psychological, the effect that this must have had on this individual? It's been said that the most commentaries that the priest would not purchase an egg from the same street corner that a leper once walked on. If a leper once walked on that street corner, then the priest will not even purchase an egg from it. That's how bad it's been, it was said to be. Also, it's been suggested that most priests walked around with rocks in their pocket. So when a leopard would come near, they would throw the rocks at them to keep them at bay. They didn't want them around. And they surely didn't want them getting close enough to be able to touch them. And this was a very grotesque disease, to the point where isolation was the only way that they would tolerate someone living with this type of disease. I can only imagine what this person must have felt, what he or she was going through. I want us to look at our text as we deal with this particular topic. In verse 12, we start off with seeing a man in need. In verse 12, this is a man that's in need. He's in need of a touch from the Lord. He's in need of a touch to be cleansed, to be clean, to be made whole. You and I, Mike, can truly reflect on the fact that at one time we were standing in that same need. I had to be touched by God. I needed a touch from the Lord. Because unless the Lord touched me, then I would be a wretched, hopeless, reckless sinner. Unless God touched, unless there's a true touch from the Lord, there is no hope in sight. Because we are not able to truly bring about transformation in our lives. We're not truly able to bring about cleansing in our lives. We're not able to truly change our lives. Unless God Almighty touches us, unless there is a true divine touch from God, then we too will continue to be in that place of isolation. And if not physically, spiritually, we will be those who are destitute of any hope. Here we see this man. He is in need of a touch. But there is a problem. Because there is this sense of rejection. There is this sense of truly not wanting him to be involved or get close enough to be touched. And we see now in verse 12, this man does not only have leprosy, he is full of leprosy. I would say that that would make up the average sinner. They're in need. No, there is truly a sin problem. And they're in need. Here we have this man. Notice in verse 12. And it happened when he was in a certain city, that behold, a man who was full of leprosy, he saw Jesus. He saw Jesus. The mere fact that he was able to see the Lord and to get close to the Lord is a real sign of hope. He saw Jesus. He saw an opportunity for hope. Notice what the Bible says, that when he saw Jesus, the Bible says that he fell on his face. This man did not just arbitrarily come into the presence of the Lord. He came as one who was repentant. He came as one who was broken. He came as one who was humbled. I think that that's a real sign that if we're going to truly understand that how to really get into the presence of the Lord, this man came as one who was truly repentant. He fell on his face, the Bible says. He didn't come as one that was full of pride. Notice when he fell on his face, this truly is an act of humility. But falling on his face, coming to the Lord, really suggests something here. The first thing it does is it attests to the Lordship of Jesus. Notice what he says in verse 12 when he fell on his face. It says, when he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, attest to the Lordship of Jesus. Most people want a Savior, but they don't want a Lord. They want to be set free of their sins, but they don't want him to be Lord. But Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't obey what I say? Why is it if I'm truly your Lord, then you must recognize that I am the one that truly has to orchestrate your every step. His submission, his recognition of him falling on his face suggests not only to the Lordship of Christ, but it is totally to the submission of his Lordship. A lot of people want him to be Savior, but don't want to be submissive to the things of God. But if we truly are going to flourish in our relationship with God, if we're going to grow in our relationship with God, then we must bring our life in alignment with the Word of God. We must understand that the Word of God is the plumb line. That it is truly what keeps me accountable. He falls down to the submissionship of the Lordship of Christ. He doesn't come as one that truly is demanding anything. Not only does he attest to the Lordship of Christ, not only does he submit to the Lordship of Christ, but notice what else it says here. He says, Lord, if you are willing, this attests to the sovereignty of God. You're sovereign. You have the power to do whatever you wish. He recognized that God is sovereign. If you're willing, this has to be an act of your desire to do this. We must understand, we serve a sovereign God. And that he's able to do whatever he desires to do. And he doesn't have to get permission from you and I to do it. Because he is the immutable God. He is the God that doesn't change. He is the God that is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. He changes not. He is Almighty God. He is the great I am. He is the magnificent. He is the loft. He is the grandeur. He is the one that sits on the throne. He's the one that sits high and look low. He's able to do anything. He's God. The rhetorical question was asked, is there anything too great for God? Of course the answer is absolutely not. He can do whatever he desires to do. This man attests to the sovereignty of God. If you're willing, notice his attitude. Notice how he approaches the Lord. If you're willing. But not only that, he attests to the faithfulness of God and the power of God and the greatness of God. Notice what he says here. If you're willing, you could make me clean. You could make me clean. I know you could do this. Because you have the power to do it. I know with men these things are impossible. I know that in the sight of them, I have to walk around saying unclean, unclean. I know that because of the law of Moses, I have to stay a distance. I understand all that. But I also know that you have the power. The question that's on the table to do it on the table today is, do you know he has the power? Yeah. To radically change your situation, to radically change your circumstances, to radically change your life, to bring about a renewing of the mind, to totally bring freedom. Do you know he's able? See, I know you're able because I know you have the power. He attests to the fact that you have the power to really bring about this change in my life. Matthew's account of this man in Matthew chapter 8, verse 2, attests to this man as a worshiper. Matthew says that he fell at the feet of Jesus and he worshiped him. Mark's account in Mark chapter 1, verse 40, attests to the fact that this man was one who was crying out, begging, truly crying out for a touch from the Lord. When was the last time you cried out? When was the last time you found yourself prostrated before him, worshiping, adoring, knowing that I really need a touch from you this morning? I need to be touched by God. I need the hand of the Lord to touch me. This man was one who was truly sold out to worship the Lord. The second point concerning verse 12. We see him attesting and affirming the Lordship. We see him affirming the true act of submission, the power of God. He affirms this. That you are able, if you're willing, you can do this. How many know that God is willing this morning? Yeah, he's willing. He's willing to do great and amazing things. Do you see him as the Lord that is able? A lot of times, because of our skewed vision of the Lord, we limit God in our lives. But do you see that he's able this morning? Yeah, he's willing. Paul saw him as one who was able. Paul saw him as one who was able to do more exceedingly abundantly above anything he could even ask or think. He said, I know my God is able. I serve a great God. We serve a great God, a mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. He's great. Do you know who God is? You're seeing him right through the act of Jesus. The compassion of Jesus is showing the real attribute of God. This man is full of leprosy. He's full of it. Not only does he have it, he's full of it. It's all over him. But unlike the priests, Jesus does not take rocks and throw and say, stay away. No, the mere fact that he was able to see Jesus is a real sign of hope, because James say, they that draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to them. We see the very act of God. We see the compassion of God. We see the mercy of God. God's mercies are new every morning. Every day, the mercy of God. This man did not deserve to be in the presence of the Lord. But Jesus don't reject. He doesn't push him away. No, he's reaching out to him. Notice the compassion of Jesus. This is a touch of compassion. Touch of love, it's a touch of mercy. We see Jesus. This is in a touch of acceptance. I want us to look at verse 13. This is not just an average touch. This is a touch of acceptance. Listen, look at verse 13. Then he put out his hand and touched him. I want you to keep your fingers there. I want to ask you, couldn't he just say, be healed? Couldn't Jesus just say, be healed? He had the power to say that. But no, Jesus was sure, this is a touch of acceptance. That there's no sin that is so grotesque that I can't reach out and touch your life. I don't care where you've been. I don't care how far you've gone. I don't care the deepness of where you were. I am able to raise you out of the guttermost to the uttermost. This is a touch of acceptance. Can you imagine how this man must have felt? Years and years and years, he's going around saying, unclean, unclean, not able to get near anybody. He's never been touched in years, and all of a sudden, he's touched by the Lord of Lords. Can you imagine? Yes, and a touch of acceptance. One of the first things Jesus did when he returned, when he arose from the grave and his disciples gathered around him, he says, go tell the disciples and Peter. He said, go tell the disciples and Peter. Why Peter? Because Peter denied him three times. Peter rejected him. But the Lord says, I'm not going to reject you. You're still part of my disciples. You're still part of the family. You're part of the family of God. Yeah, this is a touch of acceptance. that irregardless of how full of leprosy you are and how bad and grotesque your sin may be, they're not rejectable by God. He touched him. It was a true touch of compassion to let him know that you're valuable. You have worth. You're valuable in the sight of God. You're valuable. God loves you so much that he sent Jesus. He says you're valuable. True touch of a compassion. Notice this touch changed this man's life. You probably can retrospect. I can remember the very hour, the very day, the very place where he touched me. He touched me. My late wife used to sing that song. Matter of fact, when we was in Belize, that was probably the last song she sung before she died. He touched me. He touched me. To be touched by God. This touch transformed his life. Changed his life. You see, change doesn't come through us gritting our teeth. Doesn't come through osmosis. It comes through a true act of worship. A true act of humbling ourselves. Prostrating ourselves before God. This was a touch that changed his life. Notice now. Look. Verse 14, the charge. Here's the charge now. Jesus touches this individual. In verse 14, he charges him. Notice. And he charged him to tell no one. You mean to tell me I've been carrying a 500-pound sack on my back for miles and miles and miles and somebody come and relieve this sack and take it off of my back and I don't know that I've been radically changed? I don't realize that a burden has been lifted off of me? And now you're saying don't go and tell anyone? He didn't obey this charge. He didn't obey it. Isn't it ironic that God charges him to go not to go tell anyone, and he go tells everyone, and God charges us, the body of Christ, the church, to go tell everybody, and we don't go tell anyone. When you've been touched by God, you can't help but to tell. I don't know, but just come see. I mean, I don't know anything about it. Just come see. All I know that he told me everything about me. I don't know where I left those water pots. Somewhere back there. I don't need them anymore. I've been touched. He touched this individual and he says, now don't go share this with anyone. And all of a sudden, notice, the Bible says, I always love reading this part, but go and show yourself to the priests and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. But verse 15, the result of the touch is the result of it. Notice in verse 15, however, the report went around concerning him, and all the more, and the great multitudes came to hear Jesus. People can see. They can tell when one has been touched by God. They knew. You mean to tell me this man for years, he's full of it? He's covered with leprosy. His body is leprosy is everywhere. And now he's going into population. Go show yourself to the priest. Never mind about the priest. This man has been cleansed. Everybody is inquiring. How did this happen? Who allowed you to get close enough to bring about such a change in your life? Who allowed you to get this close to them? Everybody's inquiring now. He says, all I know is I saw Jesus. He didn't throw rocks at me, but he allowed me to get close. Matter of fact, I was close enough for him to lay his hands on me, and he touched me. You see, Jesus' emphasis is on the kingdom, preaching and teaching the kingdom. It's on the kingdom. Our emphasis as the body of Christ should be on the kingdom. That's why Jesus told his disciples, pray, thy kingdom come. The emphasis is on the kingdom. Seeing as many as possible to enter into the kingdom. Jesus' emphasis is on the kingdom of God. Notice, they came to hear Jesus and to be healed of their infirmities. We want to hear now. You want to get someone's attention? It's been said, a man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. You want to get someone's attention? Allow Jesus to touch you. Yeah, you want to be a testimony for the kingdom? Allow Jesus to touch you. You want to be a witness? You want to be the light that's set on the hill? Allow Jesus to touch you. They flocked. We want to hear what you have to say. We want to hear you now. All we know that this man was full of leprosy, but now he's clean. We have to hear. We want to hear the gospel. We want to hear the good news. We see the touch. We see the charge. We see the result from the touch. Look at the emphasis of the touch. Look at verse 16. He himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. You want to be used by God? How often do you withdraw into the wilderness? How often do you find yourself on your knees before God? How much time do you spend friend. The emphasis is put on prayer. Jesus himself magnifies not the power that's in his hand, but the power that's in direct communication with the Father. If you want to know how this came about, Jesus is drawing emphasis that this is a true direct result of one who has a life of prayer with the Father. Spending time before God, travailing, agonizing, laying hold of the horns of the altar, truly believing God for great and mighty things to take place, not only in my life, but the life of my brothers and sisters, but not only in the lives of my brothers and sisters, but in the community that I live in. Seeing God bring about a change in the lives of those that are around me. It's been often asked of me when I was pastoring, Pastor, how often do you think we need to get prayer back into the White House? I say, I'm not concerned about prayer in the White House. I'm more concerned about prayer being back in my house. Because if we get it in our house, then it'll get to the White House. We're so concerned about prayer in the White House that we spend very little time praying in our house. They say, well, Pastor, what about prayer in the school? I said, I'm not worrying about prayer in the school. Because if we're praying our house, then guess what? It'll affect the schoolhouse. See, God is looking for praying men and women in his house. Not the White House. He can't even find them in his house. But this is a direct emphasis. Jesus put emphasis on the power and the need of those to be involved in prayer. If Jesus had to pray, how much more do we need to pray? If he had to pray, the Bible says he withdrew himself into the wilderness. Prayer is a lonely place. Yeah, prayer is a lonely place. Waiting on God is a hard thing. But it's always a blessed thing. Because the Bible says they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Listen, the emphasis is on prayer. If we're going to see change in our world, if we're going to see needs met around us, if we're going to see those who are full of sin made clean, it's going to take men and women who are willing to make the sacrifice on their knees. We want to go out and quote some fancy words. And don't get me wrong, God knows I'm not knocking that. True battle is in prayer. It's in prayer. It's in those that are truly praying and seeking God. He says, if you seek me in secret, then I'll reward you openly. But don't expect him to reward you openly if you're not seeking him secretly. If you're not often withdrawn to the desert place, to that quiet place, to that lonely place, to that secret place. The Bible says he often withdrew, not a one time. This is part of who he is. He's a man of prayer. Jesus prayed. He's often in direct communication. He says, I don't do anything unless I hear from my Father first, unless God talks to me and I talk to him. There is this communication. A lot of times, we go out and we expect results without spending time with him. Prayer. You need to be people of prayer. In closing, 7 questions. Do you see yourself as one that is vitally in need of spending time in prayer with Jesus? Do you see yourself as one who is truly in need of spending time in prayer with the Lord. Yeah. Do you see yourself as one in need of a touch from the Lord? Do you say to yourself, I need to be touched by Him? Have you ever been desperate to be cleansed? I'm grappling with this secret sin, this besetting sin, this thing that I've struggled with over and over. Do you see yourself in need to be truly cleansed from the Lord? I need Him to touch me in this area. I need to be cleansed in this area. Who shall ascend into the hills of the high? He that has clean hands and a pure heart. I need to be touched by God. I need to be cleansed. Do you see yourself? Do you believe that He's able? Do you believe that He is able? Not only is He willing, do you believe that He's able to do it? And unless you do it, then it won't be done unless you touch my life. Unless you radically touch me. I have to say for the rest of my life, unclean, unclean. Unless you touch me, do you believe He's able? Do you believe that He's willing? Do you believe that He's willing to do it? Do you believe that? And if you do, will you call upon Him to touch you this morning? Will you call upon Him to touch you this morning? That's my challenge to the body.